this is Catherine at I Know I Need to Stop Talking. Hello, lovelies. How are we? Happy Saturday, or whatever day it is when you're listening to this. If it's Monday, sorry. Never mind, there's a Saturday coming soon, and it's a long weekend, so that's really exciting. It's been a very exciting couple of days for all kinds of reasons, which I will obviously tell you about. First of all, this little tiny podcast that I basically set up because I was bored in lockdown and literally never wanted to see another piece of banana bread ever, ever, ever again. It's only in like the Apple parenting podcast top 10 chart thing. I just keep saying words I don't even know what they mean anymore. But that's exciting, isn't it? Well, I think it's exciting. I mean, it's been a year. I've not been out much. Don't judge me. But yeah, top 10. That's thanks to all of you lovely, brilliant, amazing, lovely people. Thank you so much for listening to me just witter on about shit. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. So that's exciting. Secondly, today, as I sort of alluded to last week, Mr. I Know I Need to Stop Talking and myself, 15 years married, oh yes, and we are going to mark the occasion in style, and I will tell you more about this in a moment. Before I do, obviously, some things never change. It's been another standard week with us, as in everything has been absolutely bonkers as usual. Literally, just before sitting down to record this, Beth lost her shit with me because I couldn't move the date of Easter, which is very unreasonable behaviour, and yet in Beth's mind it's equally unreasonable that I should not be able to move the date of Easter. She said, when's Easter? I said, it's next Sunday. I said, it's a week away. Well, why isn't it this weekend? Well, it's not really how the calendar works. I can't move it. And she looked at me like I was an idiot. Well, you should be able to. And then she stormed off. So that was good. For those of you who've been keeping up with the blog on Facebook this week, obviously, I mean, Jamie has just been, oh God, I just love him. He's just a treat. So for anybody who missed it, and just because it's really fucking funny and I want to relive it. So all secondary school children and parents of kids at school are being asked to do a twice weekly lateral flow test. Now, I don't want to get into the political ins and outs of these tests. There were lots of very angry people. God love social media for all the very angry people who come along. There were lots of very angry people on social media when I posted about this going, these tests cause cancer, and posting just made up shit. So this is not about the ins and outs of lateral flow tests. If you choose not to take them, if you choose for your child not to take them, absolutely grand, crack on, all power to you. But in our household, we have decided to do so. I think it's the right thing. What with, you know, for you teachers and TAs out there and that whole magical coronavirus force field keeping you safe, which doesn't fucking exist, I feel the right thing is to try and do my little bit. So we have been doing these bi-weekly lateral flow tests. And for anybody who's not taken one, they're very simple to do. And to be fair to Jamie, he's been an absolute star. He's just cracked on and he's got on with it. But so it was on, I think it was Wednesday this week, I got a text from the, so you obviously, you log them on the NHS site, but you also have to go and do them. There's usually a testing site that's linked directly to the school. And I got a message to say that Jamie hadn't logged his test. And I was like, don't remember seeing anything about him registering. So he got back from school and I said, did you get an email asking you to register for a test? Oh yeah, I might have done that. Have you registered? No. Okay, cool. Could you register? Yeah, I'll do that. So we got home and I said, I tell you what, before you go and register, why don't you do your midweek test? And then we can log everything together. Okay, fine, no problem, he said. As I say, he's a very good boy, so he cracked on. I said, do you need any help? Because I was working. I said, do you need help? No, I'm fine. So he goes off to start doing the test. And he's done a few of these tests before. And he goes to start taking the test. And he goes to me. He goes, what do I do next? And I said, have you done it? He said, yeah. And I said, you put it in the tube? He said, yeah. I said, well, then you squeeze out a couple of drops onto the test. He said, yeah, nothing's coming out. No liquid's coming out. I said, Jamie, did you put the liquid in? What liquid? Well, the liquid that you're expecting to come out. Oh, he said, I didn't realise you had to do that. I said, how did you expect liquid was going to come out if you didn't put any in? Well, I thought it was probably just your spit. So that's delightful. Anyway, test successfully done. He then said, right, I'm going to go and register. So I was like, okay. Sent him upstairs to do that. Now, I know what Jamie's like. Very easily distracted by things like coloured pieces of string. So after about 5 minutes or so, I followed him upstairs to check he'd done it. To my surprise, he had. He was on the school test site. He said, I've done it, I've logged in, I've registered my test, I've logged the test from Sunday. I said, oh, well done, did you remember everything? He said, yeah. So I just had a look at his screen, which was where it had everything up, and I was just checking. I was like, right, okay, name, good, date of birth, done. And then I looked at the test result. I was like, what the fuck have you done? I said, have you submitted this? He said, yeah, you told me to do it. I was like, what the fuck? He submitted a fucking positive COVID response. He hasn't got COVID, he didn't have a positive test. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He said, oh, I got confused. How did you get confused? When you don't have COVID, how were you confused about that? Oh, well, I was positive that I was negative, so I pressed positive. Of course you fucking did. Oh, God love him. So then about 10 minutes later, I'm like, for fuck's sake, I go downstairs. My phone rings. It's the deputy head from his school. She goes, I'm so sorry to bother you so late. I said, it's no problem. She said, so I've just had notification that Jamie's tested positive for COVID. I was like, I'm so sorry. He hasn't got COVID. He is fucking inept, but he hasn't got COVID. Obviously, I didn't swear at a teacher because even now at nearly 40, swearing at teachers is a bit scary. So yeah, all's well that ends well. Jamie had his test, didn't have COVID. I mean, honestly, they say these tests are simple, but I think anybody who says that has just never tried taking one with a teenage boy. So yeah, he was like, you can share this on your blog, Mum, so that other people don't make the same mistake as me. I was like, literally nobody in the known universe has ever made a mistake quite like this, but crack on, son, I will absolutely share it. But yeah, he's a joy on every front. He came in this morning, I was in the bathroom, and he came in. One of the things I love most about Jamie is he always does this stuff apropos of absolutely nothing. So there was no kind of like, good morning, Mum, how's your sleep? What are we going to do today? He walked in, Mum, he went, I've just discovered something. Good morning, hi, son, hi, how's your Saturday? I've just realised that when people talk about Dame Judi Dench, that's because Judi Dench is a dame. I'm like, uh-huh, yep, no, that's why they do. Well, he said, I didn't realise that. I said, okay, well, why did you think they were saying Dame Judi Dench? He went, well, I didn't really know that a dame was like a sir. So he said, whenever I heard anybody saying it, he said, I thought they were like going, damn, Judi Dench, because she's so great. And I was like, I don't know how to help you. I genuinely don't know how to help you. I mean, he's just a legend. So yeah, I mean, it's just fucking chaos as always. But 15 years of marriage, and very exciting on two levels. So first of all, for a treat, I'm not recording this podcast where I usually do, which means, right, no background kitchen appliances beeping and kicking off and causing hell. That's exciting in itself. I feel like I've been promoted. It's very exciting. Secondly, we've got a guest. I know, right? The first ever I Know I Need to Stop Talking podcast guest. Da, 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 da. That was like my little jazzy jingle that I made up. Yeah, you can tell I didn't do music. So yeah, first ever guest. It's the legendary Mr. I Know I Need to Stop Talking. Yay! I'm doing little cheering.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. That's She's clapping and doing a little circuit of the room. Yay. I'm very pleased to be here on what is technically my day off. But it's nice because I now get to see what these podcasts are really like, because, you know, every week Catherine disappears into the shoe cupboard for an hour and I just assume she's crying about the marriage, but it turns out she's been recording podcasts.
I do that as well.
Oh, okay. And well, that's nice. And I'm here and under strict instructions not to say anything controversial or vaguely amusing or funny. So
or talk about politics. He's banned from talking about politics, which is a challenge, isn't it?
But I was interested, you were saying earlier, what people are saying that the tests are going to give us cancer. Are they eating the tests?
I know, yeah, probably. Somebody posted on the blog and said that her daughter had done the test. I went, oh, that really hurts. And she said, why? And her daughter had swabbed the one wrong end of the test. And my favourite, somebody else said that she was working in a college and she'd asked her students to take the test. And she said, you need to swab your tonsils. And one of them said, do I have to open my mouth for that? I mean, this is the future generation that's going to run the world. It's a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, teachers have to micromanage. And so Jamie gave a false positive reading.
I
mean, if you're a conspiracy theorist about COVID, I think people like Jamie sort of add fuel to the flames. I mean, how much of that data is correct if kids like Jamie are just randomly spamming in whatever results they want?
Yeah, so you reckon actually there's no positive
There's no COVID. There's just a lot of incompetent teenage boys who've created a global pandemic scare.
I think that's unique to Jamie. Beth was very scathing and disparaging. So obviously she would never do such a thing. So we've been married 15 years, and although Mr. I Know I Need to Stop Talking didn't realise in the vows when we got married, there was a little like sort of a sub clause in there where I said, "And 15 years on, you'll be spending your wedding anniversary in a lockdown recording a podcast."
Did we even have podcasts back then? I wouldn't even know what that was. 15 years ago, and we were barely out of black and white.
Yeah.
Did we have podcasts? I mean,
I don't know, is it Betamax? You know about Betamax. Mr. No, I Need to Stop Talking is a bit older than me.
I am a lot older.
I like to remind him of that a lot. So Betamax, what is Betamax?
Betamax Betamax was great. It was instead of VHS. And the difference between Betamax and VHS is the Betamax tape, I think, if I remember right, it lasted 15 minutes longer. That was its unique selling point, that it was ever so slightly longer.
It's not much of a USP.
No, and everyone of that era and stuff has now got sort of piles and piles of these Betamax and VHS in their loft, in the hope that the one day
they're going to come back.
aliens will come and take these and learn about human civilization.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, really.
It's the old skills, isn't it? It's the old skills you don't have anymore. The people when you have to like record something manually. Those skills are gone. You can't teach those to young kids today. It's like plaiting a shy horse's tail.
No, I mean, I these days, if I want anything, well, as you know, so we have Amazon Alexas in the house, and Mr. I Know I Need to Stop Talking bought them and programmed them all. I don't know if anybody else has got one. Basically, it's like a loyal dog. It only really listens to its master. So I'm like trying in the evening to like turn the TV on. I'm like, Alexa, play a movie. And it's like, yeah, whatever, fuck off.
I think they're more like sort of passive aggressive other wives. who are very obedient to me, as you say, and then just kind of sort of in a surly way ignore you.
I literally imagine it's like a metaphorical two fingers up to me. Fuck off, I'm not putting your fucking movie on. Do it yourself. That's how I feel Alexa treats me. But yeah, so we've been married 15 years today, which is a long time. Makes me feel quite old. I have to say, I feel substantially better today than I did on our wedding day, because I was hungover to fuck. So obviously sensible people the night before their wedding would get a good night's sleep. I, by contrast, stayed up with some of my best mates until about 1 o'clock in the morning drinking champagne and this is brilliant for somebody who's about to, you know, doing the whole, I'm a proper adult, I'm getting married, I'm off to start independent life. So we were up drinking until my mum came and said, that's enough now, go to bed. So yeah, I started this day 15 years ago hungover as fuck, in the bath, clutching a can of Red Bull, because I am nothing if not classy.
I'm not sure you've changed very much in that time.
No, I don't think I have.
No. I mean, yeah, sometimes you don't make it to the bath, but yeah, I think the other elements are still there.
Yeah.
By contrast, I was, you know, I was quite sensible. Mm. But, you know, I think I knew what was ahead. So yeah, there was a much more kind of muted, resigned feel about, you know, like the prisoner before, you know, walking to the gallows. And
I mean, that's nice, isn't it? That's nice. I mean, no. Who says romance is dead?
No, honestly, no. Actually, I was quite chill about it. I mean, I was genuinely relaxed. I think I went for an early night's sleep, little read, and I was just looking forward to the next day to marry the woman I loved and all that.
I was looking forward to doing that too. I was just slightly more off my tits at the time.
You were.
But we got to thinking, like, 15 years, that's not bad. That's quite an achievement, 15 years.
What do we get for that?
We get a crystal, which is better than some of the anniversaries. I think last year was ivory, which is both dodgy, illegal, and not very romantic.
Yes, I've killed a rhino for you, darling. Oh, no, rhinos. Do rhinos do ivory? It's elephants. No, rhinos. It's hair, isn't it? It's a compacted hair.
I think they're like diverse. Rhinos.
I've just killed a whole series of animals.
Yes.
And at the end of it, found out that I got the wrong stuff. Well, the crystal, of course, you do got like a crystal maze themed kind of 15th where.
Well, I mean, you could leave the house. Obviously, today we'll be like looking at some crystal glasses and going, "Woo! Remember when we used to be in places other than our house to use these crystal glasses?"
See, I don't mind that though, because you and I are quite different.
We're very different.
Extrovert, aren't you? So you like going out and just
interacting with other human beings.
And I've been quite happy by myself for many a year. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like people, but you know, lockdown hasn't seemed radically different from that.
Basically, Mr. I Know I Need to Stop Talking is exactly the same as Jamie. They've both lived their best life throughout the entirety of lockdown. and the concept that they're going to have to, I don't know, leave the house ever again is a source of crashing disappointment.
I'm just resilient. I adapt to circumstances.
Yeah. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. So yeah, right. Secret of 15 years of marriage. And, you know, obviously, what great advice could we give people starting out on their relationships? And it turns out probably fuck all. Because the secret, I think, for us in 15 years of marriage might have been about me finding a life partner who's capable enough to get me out of the shit that I get myself into on a really regular basis. And so we thought we'd share some of perhaps the most memorable moments of our marriage where I've been absolutely convinced I was right and turned out to be so unfucking believable wrong.
Yeah, and let's be honest with this. This isn't like some sort of mansplaining
no.
you know, I'm always right kind of thing. It's just that I remember to keep my mouth trapped when I know I'm wrong.
Yeah.
That's the distinction, I think.
No, I am very, very certain that I'm right, yeah. even on all the times that I'm very wrong. So we
You're Queen of the Lemmings, basically.
I am Queen of the Lemmings. It's a good title. I like that. So we thought we'd share a few of perhaps some of our most memorable moments over the years. So the first one came. This was years ago. This must have been, was it pre-children when we went? We were driving to Dorset.
It gets fuzzy though. I can't remember the time before or after children. It's all kind
of
vague. You
can't remember last week.
Be
honest.
Yeah, no, seriously, it all blends into one. I have no sense of continuity. Mm. You tell me you've been married for 15 years.
Well, you think it's a lie.
I don't even know who you are. It's everything's a bit fuzzy now.
It's a cry for help on the podcast. I don't know this lady. She's pretending I'm her husband.
Well, it's a warm fuzzy though. I mean, I'm quite happy where I am. I just, you know, yeah. vaguely confused.
Yeah, you sound like Jamie, vaguely confused. That sounds about right. So we were going to Dorset. I don't remember why. Were we going to see my uncle? That sounds plausible, doesn't it?
Have you got an uncle?
I've got two uncles.
Well, yes, let's go with that as a story.
I think we were going to see my uncle. And one thing you should know about our marriage is it survived despite the fact that Mr. I Know I Need to Stop Talking does not drive.
I don't drive.
No, you don't.
I've never had the inclination or the money to do it.
Your wife to drive you around. Well, why would you have the inclination?
And the thing is, I'm a lovely passenger because I have anecdotes. I bring mixed tapes. I'll bring sweets. I'm really sort of low maintenance as passengers go. And you need people in life to be a passenger.
To be low maintenance? Are you suggesting that I'm not low maintenance?
I'm just saying, you know, I'm comfortable in the boot. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you do occasionally try and think that as passenger, though, you have rights over choice of music, which, as any driver will know, is like, that's in your driving test. Yeah, it's like, if you drive the car, you choose the music every time. So Andrew Lloyd Webber it is once more. So anyway, we're driving to Dorset, and as I have recounted on this podcast before, my sense of direction is not the finest, which in itself would not be a problem were it not for the fact that I am always basically convinced I'm, what's that dude that went to the Antarctic and found some stuff?
What?
Scott. Oh yeah, Scott.
The one who died? Well, how bleak are our trips as a family? Well, kids, not all of us are going to make it back, and some of you are going to have to eat polar bear.
A minor detail.
Right, okay.
But yeah, Scott the Antarctic, that's right. I feel like I'm like him. I'm like, yes, I'm striding out into the unknown and I have a laser-like hone on my destination. This could not be further from the truth. So we set out to Dorset and I kind of was like, it's pretty much in a straight line from where we are. And so I probably was a bit laissez-faire about, you know, looking at maps and stuff. I was like, well, probably just find it. It'll be fine. And to be fair to you, you didn't really like... you know, talk me down from that.
And that's the secret, again, the secret success in the marriage is just go with the flow. Even when you know someone is making a horrendous error, just sort of back them up to the hilt, which is, you know, how the Nazis happened.
Good. Good comparing marriage to Nazis. That's good. So we're driving.
Neither ended well.
No, we're driving. And I knew that I had to come off one motorway and get onto another motorway. So I did that. And I was like, right, this is it. We're going the right way. And then I think mainly because you'd seen road signs that did not say Dorset. In fact, they were saying things like
there be dragons and abandon all hope. It goes, yes. No, I mean, yeah, when it starts sort of, when the language changes on the signs, that's usually a sign.
That's what happened when I drove to Wales. And so I think you kept saying, I think maybe we should come off here. And I was properly pulling the... you do not drive a car. How could you possibly suggest that you know, could even slightly know? And you're like, I might not be able to drive a car. I can read.
Yeah, and I do know where the sun is in the sky. Yeah, little details like that. But I mean, I like the journey. I mean, it's nice when you're together. I mean, that's a metaphor for marriages, isn't it? It's about the journey. It's not about...
Well, one person leads you astray.
It's not about the end destination, which is both of you in a home. It's the other bits in between. Yeah, that's the good bit.
It's a nice way to think about it. So basically we drove pretty much to London before I finally allowed myself to concede that Mr. I Know I Need to Stop Talking might have been right and we might not have been going
to the Houses of Parliament in Dorset. Well, if you like. Yeah, why not?
Well, sometimes they do like, it's like Legoland. They have like a little tribute.
A miniature village to scale.
So, I thought maybe that's what it was like. So sense of direction, not a strong point. But there's some stuff that I'm good at and I did well. So when we moved into this house.
The last one, yeah.
Yeah. This house. We've only moved
house.
No, once.
But the last big move.
Big move. The only big move. Who else have you been moving house with?
Well,
this is awkward.
I told you stuff gets fuzzy.
This other woman, this other house.
I just ended up wrapped in bubble wrap.
It's a blur.
So
our house move was a absolute bloody nightmare because we lost four buyers along the way. You lost your shit. It was a nightmare, wasn't it? It was a long, torturous nightmare. So when they finally gave us a date to exchange and complete, I was like, I literally don't care what the Christmas day, fine, absolutely fine, crack on, we just want to move. But it turned out that the day they'd given us to complete on, you couldn't take the day off. I can't remember why, but you couldn't get the day off.
No, not only was I working during the day, I had evening stuff as well. Yeah. So I wasn't getting home till, I don't know, 8, 9-ish, 10-ish.
Yeah, it was late.
It was dark.
It was very dark.
And it was really surreal because I was coming back, because I think we'd only been and visited the house we'd bought a couple of times.
Yeah.
And so I was coming home to a house where I actually didn't really know where it was. And I certainly didn't know what it looked like late at night. And it was really weird. So you're walking down the street, sort of looking at these houses going, do I live there? Do I live there?
Which one is mine?
I'm just, you know, maybe knock on the one that looks most friendly and just going, can I stay with you?
That's why our neighbours still look at us oddly now. It's because you're
trying to... Yes, it's the first 3 weeks I spent living with them. And yes,
yeah, trying to get into their house. But I, you know, I genuinely quite proud of myself. Obviously, the kids had gone off to school. I think Beth was in nursery. And I, you know, kind of, I did the house moving. We had movers in, we'd had packers in. So I'm not going to pretend that it was like me single-handedly packing up the house. And Grace was here, wasn't she? My stepdaughter. She had come to help out as well. So yep. she arrived when we got to the new house.
A real adult.
Yes, a real grown-up had come to help.
My goodness.
And so we got here, lovely team of movers, really great guys that were with us kind of for 2 days. And I was at this point like thinking to myself, I'm such a proper grown up. I'm smashing this right now. And so I literally got to the house and they start unloading stuff. And as anybody who has ever moved will know, you have so much fucking stuff. You have no clue how much fucking stuff you have until you move house. And I remember some of our boxes were really surreal because you've got some weird stuff, let's be honest. So there was one box which I've got a photo of because it just says on the top, lamp and skull.
Lamp and skull, yeah, that's the name of my themed pub that I'm planning on opening.
Oh yeah, that's very good. So I'm stood there by the front door and they bring it all in and they're like, right, first of all, they said, we're going to have a system. They said, so in terms of the rooms upstairs, the bedrooms, we're going to give them all numbers. And when we bring in the thing, you just stand here, tell us what room you want it in. Could I remember the fucking order of those bedrooms?
So you're just shouting out random
numbers.
I was
literally like just yelling random numbers. I was like 3, 2, 7, 8. It was like a bingo calling thing. We didn't have 8 bedrooms. I'm trying to make myself sound more grand than I am. We had 4. But then I'm standing there. And I don't know if this is true of anybody else or maybe it's just me. Furniture looks very different when it's not in the place you expect it to be in your house. So they're bringing this stuff in. They're like, right, what room do you want this in? And without you there, I was like, I don't think that's our furniture. And they were a bit like, ha ha ha, because we're all knackered, we can work your day. I was like, no, seriously, it was a massive, like, I don't remember what it was, but it was huge. I said, I don't think that's ours. They were like, okay, well, we've packed it all up from inside your house, you moron.
And they had an empty van to begin with.
Yeah. No, they had an empty
van. So you just assumed that somewhere along the way they picked up extra...
Well, yeah, and I said, I don't think this is our furniture. So I asked Grace. I said, Grace, and she's like, oh no, I don't think
so. Well, so she backed you up as well.
Yeah, no, she can back me up. And then they turned it round the other way. They turned it to a different angle. They said, how about now, you idiot? I was like, oh yeah, now, yeah, of course, now. Put it in bedroom 27 or whatever number I was up to by then. So yeah, but I think we've got all the furniture from the last house, probably.
Possibly. I don't know now. I'm going to go around and check.
Who knows? And then do you remember the day we went to see that film in London? I've never been more confused. So I'm not very good with films, am I?
No, you don't like films at all for all sorts of reasons. You don't like narrative and characters and drama and emotion and moving images upset you quite a lot. So...
Basically, the attention being off me for 2.5 hours, let's be. They're just very long films. I just think we could get to the chase. Like TV adverts, it's very quick, isn't it? If Lord of the Rings had been
you
like...
You just want your attention on you.
30 seconds.
Well, you thought about when you go to cinema, you just face the other way. Well, so you've got all these people seem to be looking at you really
Look at
attentively. This is great.
all of my fans. But we got to see a film, haven't we? And you'd said, because you're quite good at trying to find stuff that I will like, even though I hate films. So
yeah, and I'm quite sneaky because I try and like introduce you to something that might sort of stretch you and push you outside your comfort zone. So yeah. I think we'd gone for, it was the Grand Budapest Hotel, which is quite an artsy kind of movie. But I thought, oh, this will be good. This will stretch her. She'll come away enriched as a human being. But you didn't quite respond to it as I thought you were going to do to begin with. You were a little bit annoyed almost.
Well, I was quite enthusiastic when you suggested that. I was like, yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, I really wanted to see this film. I think you were a bit surprised because it is not my usual kind of thing.
No, but
I think maybe you thought last, oh, the marriage is turning. We're on the up. So we went into the cinema. It was really quiet. We were in London, weren't we? And it was really quiet cinema. It was like only us in there. So nobody could have looked at me, even if I had turned around. So consequently, I concentrated on the film. And I'm sitting there thinking, didn't know that Budapest was in India. And then I was thinking, well, it doesn't look like India. It looks very cold.
Yeah, so what do you thought the movie was?
Well, then I was thinking, why are there no old ladies? And I was waiting for them to all come running on in that old lady type way, like damn Judi Dench and all that crew. And they weren't there at all. And I kept waiting, because I know what you say to me, like sometimes a film takes a while to get going. So I was thinking, any minute now, we'll be transported to the streets of India and damn Judi Dench and her gang will be there. And I can't wait. And then, like, it was the credits at the end. So I turned round to you and I was like, because you were like, oh, what did you think? And I was like, I'm quite confused.
Because it wasn't the Grand Budapest Hotel that you thought it was going to be. What did you think it was going to be, Catherine?
There's another film about a hotel with old ladies
in India. Is it the Marigold Hotel?
Marigold.
Yeah. No, it really wasn't that. It wasn't that.
If anybody's seen the two films, they could not be more different.
Well, I suppose they're quite probably, there's a gentleness about both, but yeah, different, very different setting.
Both set in hotels, so not...
It is a hotel. Yeah, thank goodness it didn't take you to Shining. It's, gosh, it's a lot more violent than I thought. And
well, hotels, these things...
Yeah,
these
hotels,
things
the Bates Motel.
Yeah, that was quite confusing. I mean, probably one of my biggest inept moments in our marriage was the night of the bath, as we now refer it to. So it was another evening when I think...
She only washed once in 15 years. Is this the story?
Yeah, that is the story. So you were working really late, and I remember, so it was before Beth was born, so I think I was taking Jamie upstairs to go and have a bath. And at the time, we had a loft conversion, so we had three floors. And I walked up the first set of stairs with Jamie and saw water pouring through the ceiling.
It's never a good sign.
It's never a good sign. It's quite panicky, isn't it? When you're like, I mean, instantly in my head, because I am prone to catastrophize, I'm like, fuck, it's like the Titanic. We're going to go down even though we're not.
Gather animals two by two, children.
Yeah, I do. I was in mass panic mode. So I think I tried to call you, but you were in a meeting. So I genuinely couldn't get hold of you.
You call me, just stick your head out the window and some sort of cry to the wild in the hope that I'm here.
Well, I know. And then I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because I knew that this was bad. And I couldn't work out where the water really was coming from, only that there was a shit ton of it. So I thought, like, oh my God, should I phone 999? I was like, don't be ridiculous.
No, they won't come for that sort of thing. No, they really won't.
Not with those cuts. So I did what any sensible, sane person would do. And I got onto social media. And at that time, I didn't have the blog, because maybe you could have all come round and helped me and the story would have had a better outcome. Next time, I'll post on the blog. But I posted on my personal Facebook page and I said, help, water's pouring through the ceiling. I didn't really expect anybody to actually help me. But God...
People are replying, is this a metaphor? No, it's literally water.
Yeah, literally water. But God love them. Friends of mine did reply. And I'll tell them to stay anonymous for the purposes of this call, based on where we ended up. And so the guy said, hey, it's fine. I'm at home. I've got a toolkit. I'll come round. So I was like, oh my God, I'm saved. I think I messaged you. I'm saved. They're going to save me. It's all going to be fine. And we'll all live happy
ever
after.
This is the plot of every soft porn movie I've ever seen, isn't it? Some random amateur plumber turns up in a woman's hour of need.
I don't think it then goes like what happens, because basically between me and him, and he came around this huge toolkit, not a metaphor.
Yes,
not a metaphor. It's okay. The biggest toolkit I've ever seen. Yeah, I don't want you to feel inadequate, but yeah. It was fucking huge. And so I immediately thought, I'm in competent hands. And that turned out not necessarily to be the case. Now, to be fair to him, he stopped the water pouring through. So that was number one objective. So to be fair, I had not been specific. I had said, please somebody help me and stop this water pouring through the ceiling. And he did absolutely that. It stopped. I didn't specify. And in the process of doing so, please don't break my bath.
Yeah, he just took a hammer to it, didn't he? He really gave it a good old pounding. And again, we're not sort of talking euphemistically there. Yeah, he just kind of just broke the water.
Yeah.
And then the water stopped.
Yeah, smashed it into submission. Yeah.
At least that's the story you told me when I returned home to find you and this man lying amongst the broken smithereens of a bar. Yeah, it's quite an elaborate story.
Yeah, and then I seem to remember you spent the next day gluing the side of the bath back together.
Oh, it was a long job to fix it.
But yay him for helping me in my hour of need. But yeah, my ability to deal.
That's not the first time I've come home to find you trapped in bathrooms with men, though, is it? No. That's happened before.
Yeah, I have shared that on here, the time that me and Mark got stuck in that
my old housemate. Again, you know, once you can kind of let that thing slide. But when it's multiple times and multiple different men, you need a better cover story, really. So, or at least you need them to do better DIY at the end of it. I could accept my wife having an affair, provided I didn't have to do tidying up and repairs after the event.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. I'll try and get some better DIY. What's that? Handy Andy. I'll make sure my next bathroom.
That's an old cultural reference, isn't it?
I'm old. I'm going to be 40 this year. Yeah, I'm getting there, mate. I'm getting old. Handy Andy. Changing rooms. That was good. I really like that.
Nobody does those kind of problems anymore because nobody's allowed to own a house anymore. Your landlord would stop you doing any kind of renovations on the inside.
Yeah. Well, that and the fact that, you know, neighbours were constantly having to move because they fucked up each other's house so much.
Yes.
They weren't allowed to be there ever. And then, of course, we had kids, which, you know, we can both agree you are much better at any kind of interactions with more small children ever.
Yeah, because I like them. I mean, that's the key to it.
I love my children very much.
Oh, no, but you didn't say like them, did you?
I'm not very... when they're small, I much prefer Jamie being inept now. Just when they're little, they're a bit much. And they're also really confusing because now... I mean, Beth particularly, there is never any doubt what Beth wants because she just fucking tells me repeatedly until I give in and do it. But when Jamie was born, I literally knew nothing. And that's not an overstatement. I had to buy a book that showed you which way up to hold a baby. I think it was meant to be a comedy book, but I found it quite useful, which probably tells you everything you need to know. And so glossing over the hell of childbirth, because I think I've done that in another podcast, and even if not, you might be eating your breakfast. You went home, didn't you, after Jamie had been born? And you
They made me go home.
Yeah, well,
they said I had to leave, which is just the look of me. They didn't trust me, and I was, could you go home, sir?
Felt like saying, are you sure you don't want him to stay here with the baby and I'll go home? Because I think that might be a better scenario, but no, I stayed. And there's some stuff that just, because they don't come with a manual, do they, babies? And I think that's a real flaw. They should come with even if it's like a fast setup guide, so you could skip all the how to get your subwoofers and nonsense stuff.
You just want a baby that will plug and play, basically.
Yes, I
saying.
Do. I want a plug and play baby. So Jamie then decided to spend most of the first night screaming, which did not endear me any further to small children. I was like, for fuck's sake, you're tired, go to sleep. I'm tired, go the fuck to sleep. And he did not for the next 5 years. And the midwives were amazing and so lovely, and they were so good and supportive, and they're coming in and suggesting things. Have you tried this? Have you thought about this? And all of this. And I was like, oh, you're amazing. And then one of them said, when did he last have his nappy changed? And I went, nappies, they're a thing, aren't they? And I hadn't even remotely occurred to me that you had to change babies' nappies. So he spent basically the first day of his life covered in shit.
Yeah, but that set him up well for the rest. I mean, you lowered expectations
for
him.
I did.
So,
I definitely did that.
But I had fun, though, that evening, though. Because while you were obviously sort of ignoring our newly born child, I got home and I was tired, but of course you were more tired because you've been childbirth and all
the
rest.
Glad we got
Make that
there.
Clear on yeah, that. Yeah. I'm not going to pull kind of, it was a tough night for me. But I was a wee bit tired, so I thought, oh, I'll just go home. And I just lay back on the bed and the bed collapsed. The entire bed collapsed underneath me. And I was so tired. I was lying amongst these sort of splintered ruins of a bed. I was just like, I just can't be bothered to move. But I was also through my mind, I was thinking, this is going to be a hard one to explain when you come back. Yeah. Is that, yeah, while you're away for the night, yeah, the bed is broken. No reason. To... No, oh, and a bird flew in. And a bird, because again, she said about the loft, living up in the loft at the time, bedrooms off the loft. Yeah, a bird flew through the window. So I had to chase this bird out of the house. So. Yeah.
And then didn't my mum turn up? She'd come down to stay and she was like, darling, how are you? And you're like, oh, I've got a broken bed and there's a bird in the house. But apart from that, we are fine.
Yeah, I had to explain what type of bird, but yeah. Yes.
not related to the broken bed. Yeah. Not related to the broken bed. But I mean, I reckon actually the real secret of 15 years of marriage is just being able to laugh a lot at our general ineptness, which I think we do pretty well, actually, don't we?
Yes, we spend a lot of time laughing at each other. Not with each other, but just at each other. That helps. It's just life, isn't it? Life has lots of stuff it chucks at you.
Mm.
And yeah, seeing the funny side of things, I think, is really important. I mean, yeah, some pretty bleak stuff occasionally.
Yeah.
But you know, laugh way through it. I mean, if people can laugh at Mrs. Brown's boys, I think they can laugh at anything, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, not everybody can laugh.
No, everyone can. Yeah, not everyone can.
It's a step too far.
Yeah.
I just think it's been a bleak year. It's not been that fucking bleak. It is a bit much. But yeah, so wedding anniversary, 15 years. I love you. I love you a lot.
I love you.
We've done all right. We have done all right. But obviously heading off into an exciting week for the nation, not just for us, not because of 15 years of marriage for us. I don't think the nation are fully behind that. But yay, 29th March, we can actually do more fucking shit than sit in our own houses or go on yet another fucking walk. Obviously, in this household, all we really care about is football's coming home. Well, it's not coming home. It's Beth's coming to football, whatever it is. That analogy didn't entirely work, did it? But she is very excited about going back to football and not having to do training sessions over Zoom anymore. And Jamie, surprisingly, is equally excited because he seems to have become Beth's manager, doesn't he?
Or agent, her agent. Yeah.
So he's decided that whenever she gets a goal bonus, he's now going to take a cut of those earnings. So I don't know what kind of dodgy backdoor dealing's going on there, but he's got a new lease of life in the football season. I do hope truly that, you know, whether you're football fans or not, I genuinely hope that everybody gets to do something they love this week. It's tough, isn't it? It's still really tough. I think lots and lots of mixed emotions out there, as we've said loads of times before. But, you know, as always, look after yourselves, be kind to yourselves, be kind to others, but be kind to you as well. I think it is, even with the excitement that things feel like they're moving forward, it's still a little bit of an emotional roller coaster. So do be kind to you. Look after yourselves, my loves. Have lovely, lovely weeks. We are off to celebrate the rest of our anniversary, which I believe Beth is in charge of. So you can, jump to your own conclusions as to
oh, well, it was a good 15 years. Yeah. You gave it a good go.
what it lasted like. But have lovely weeks, my loves. Look after yourselves. And I will speak to you all next week. Take care. Lots of love. Bye-bye.